Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution? Or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on OM Times Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meets. My name is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality, and I'm from Eros Coaching. That's EROScoaching.com. Do you know that there are a couple of relationship terms that have recently become really popular? In case you don't know, there are terms like ghosting. This is when somebody who you are in relationship just disappears and stops contacting you. And we don't mean dating someone, we mean you're actually in a relationship with that person. Then there's also breezing. This is when people come and go really easily and they don't really care. Kind of like really chilled about the whole thing about being in relationship with you. Then there's gaslighting. This is not a new term, but gaslighting has become more popular. This is when the person that you are in relationship with is making you think that you are psycho. So they would start saying things like, don't you remember you said that? So after a while, you start thinking that, are you losing your mind? So they're playing with, messing with your mind, and that's gaslighting. So there are a lot of other terms that have come up recently, and I published an article on Huffington Post about ghosting, breezing, and gaslighting. And earlier this week, I published another 9 relationship terms. And you can find it by going to Huffington Post. Don't you know these 9 relationship terms? Or you can go to my website, that's EROScoaching.com. On the blog, you'll be able to see that. So let me just run through the 9 terms very briefly. And they are bread crumbling, benching, cushioning, foodie call, hunting, kitten fishing,
thank
love
you,
bombing,
fantastic.
And stashing. So, hi, great.
Hi, yes, Dr.
So
Martha.
I was waiting to introduce you, Shawnee. Yes. Okay, so people, check out the article. So let me introduce my guest for today. Today we are going to be talking about the sacred shadow with Shawnee Love. And he's a professional male escort specializing in what he calls conscious kink. And he'll be joining me to talk about the importance of understanding and integrating our erotic shadows. So
that's right.
He is a professional, discreet, fun-loving, erotic, and spiritual adventurer who works with intimacy, erotic ritual, tantric sex, and all forms of sacred sensuality. He uses a combination of sacred sexuality, conscious kink, counseling, and erotic ritual to create a custom journey into touch, sensuality, and embodiment that allows his clients to live more fully in their bodies as a whole, integrated, sexually empowered person. And he won the title of Sex Worker of the Year 2015 at the 2015 Sexual Freedom Awards. And you can find him at shawneelove.com. That's SEANILove.com. So welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Lee. How are you doing there?
I'm great. I'm really glad that you made it. I've been very intrigued by you and with your work since you won the Sex Worker of the Year Award in 2015. And I've been very curious, and I'm very grateful that I'm able to connect with you on this occasion.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on. It's a real honor to be on your show. Really happy to be here.
Thank you. And I'm really glad you said yes to my invite. So I know the topic today that you gave me is the sacred shadow. So I'm more interested to get a little bit more understanding about your work. for listeners out there, it's quite unusual to have somebody who is a male escort on my show. And so, yeah, we're very interested how you got into sex work.
Yeah, well, it's quite a long story, and I'll try and be succinct with you. But I was always going to many different workshops to learn about Tantra, to learn about King, to learn about psychology, to learn about counseling and theatre and many different things, always to learn. And I organized my favorite author to teach some workshops in London where I live. And that was a really good workshop. And he was, he's Raven Caldera, and he was teaching a great workshop on shadow, on shamanic BDSM. And people from that workshop came from Prague to the workshop in London. It was really good to have them there. And they invited me to come to Prague to teach my own workshop. So I've devised some techniques that I wanted to share with people. And while I was in Prague, someone asked for a private session. They wanted a shadow healing while I was there. So I gave my first session in Prague about 7 years ago, and it really has taken off since then.
Wonderful. And so people must be wondering, you call yourself a male escort and sex worker. Do you actually have sex with clients? What are the boundaries?
Yes, I do. My in London, where I live and work, sex is illegal. Full sex with clients is perfectly legal there. My boundaries, I never do this on a first time meeting a client. I want to make sure clients are able to communicate about boundaries, communicate about consent, make sure we're not going to any trauma. So first session with a client, I'm not having full sexual services. I started off by doing lots of quite dark healing work, healing the traumas and healing the shadows. But more and more of our clients wanted softer things like intimacy and touch, cuddles and lovemaking. So I slowly got from the dark into more and more light stuff to make more clients happy. But my boundaries are, I don't do this on the first time with a client, just for their own, but for mutual safety reasons.
That's very important, because I know of I know of tantric practitioners and teachers who are male, and it really is bad when they get carried by their erotic energy and push their boundaries of their client, making them feel unsafe, and in some cases being charged with rape. Some people are not ready to go there, even though they think they are ready, and they have other things to work through before they can go into penetration. So I really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard lots of bad stories about people being re-traumatized because they said yes to things they shouldn't have said yes to, and practitioners pushing people to do things that they're not ready to do. So it's very important to have that boundary to not do this on a first session.
So, and you know, a lot of...
Go on.
Sorry, go on.
With many clients, I don't do anything penetrative at all. Sometimes it's not about that ever. Sometimes it's about other kinds of touch or becoming powerful or expressing emotions. Sometimes there's no penetration. Many times there's no penetration at all.
Yes. And that's really important for them to get to a place of being able to say, no, I don't want this. This is what I want. Please do this. And yeah, because a lot of women don't feel that they have permission to do that, especially being told to shut up and look pretty their whole lives. It's really difficult being able to do that with a masculine person.
Yeah, absolutely. We're all socialized in different ways, and many women are socialized to not seek their own empowerment, not seek their own pleasure. So a big part of coming to me for a session is being learning how to articulate what you want to explore, learning how to say how you'd like to be touched, what boundaries you have. A lot of people don't know how to ask for things or how to express their boundaries. So when my clients are coming to me, it's a big learning system for them. So it can be very empowering.
So This show is on On Times Radio Network, and most of the people who tune into our show usually are more conscious. You know, they are into spirituality and evolution. And this show is always about the link between sex and spirit. And some of them may be not exposed to the world of sex work. And some of them may be thinking, especially the men listening to this, they may be thinking, oh, you must have like the best job, you know, for a man, you get to, you know, have sex and have lots of sex. So it would be really useful if you could share a little bit about the challenges that you have, that this is not for everybody.
Sure. I'd just like to say hello to all the men listening and also to the whole OM network. So the biggest part of my work is my emotional availability or my emotional agility. Because when I'm we're working closely with sexuality, emotions are coming up all the time when people are encountering themselves for the first time. So the first thing to become a successful practitioner in this field is to have a really strong emotional versatility. So, for example, people can change their emotions really quickly. They can be really happy and laughing. Then you can touch something that brings up anger, or then you might touch something that brings up their tears and they start crying. And as the space holder, the main job is to be able to hold the client through that emotional journey. That comes first and foremost before you go anywhere near sex or hands-on stuff, is knowing how to hold space. In a nutshell, the biggest skill is how to hold space for people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People do project onto me that I have the best job in the world, and there's many beautiful aspects to it. I think the world needs more conscientious, capable, and ethical practitioners. So if there's people out there who want to get into it, I would encourage that.
Thank you very much for sharing that. So more with Shani after the break.
Thank you. See you soon.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
And welcome back. You are listening to Eros Evolution on the OM Times Radio Network, and you can share this show with your friends by going to the link omtimes.com/mobile. With this link, you can listen to the show without needing to download any app. So we are with Shawnee Love, and you can find him at shawneelove.com. That's Sean with an I. And he's Australian born, UK based professional male escort, offering private sessions for individuals and couples. And he also runs workshops on Conscious King, BDSM, sacred sex practices, and different combinations of things. And it is very rare for me to come across a male escort, and especially somebody that I feel comfortable interviewing. And I knew enough about him and his work to trust that he would be somebody who would be worth interviewing. So he won a UK Sex Worker of the Year in 2015. And he, I would say from the interview that we've had so far, is definitely somebody who is conscious and ethical, in the sense that he would make sure that his clients would have pre-established boundaries and, of course, consent in the work that they do. So tell me more about Sex Worker of the Year. So, Shawnee, would you say that you beat out the other female sex workers? I'm certain in that category you would have a lot of competition.
Yeah, so there's a lot of competition. So the Sex Worker of the Year is part of the Sexual Freedom Awards, which is this mm-hmm. ceremony that's been going for about 22 years now. And they like to celebrate and honour different people who are like pioneering in the fields of sexuality. Some of them are the Activist of the Year, Sex Worker of the Year, but also things like Striptease Artist of the Year, people doing pioneering and beautiful things. And so I got nominated in 2015, and so did many other people. And the other winner that year was Mistress Titania, an amazing woman doing great work. And if you look at Sexual Freedom Awards on Google, you'll see the other winners. There's many amazing people out there. But I think there's a lot of shaming around the industry, and a lot of shaming around female sexuality. So I'm in a fortunate position, well, privileged position, being male. I can be really out about my work, and I can be very vocal and speaking about it in public. But a female who's doing similar is often likely to be shamed or called whore and slut and things like this. So it's like a big feminist issue there, which is really worth talking about, how people in the industry of different genders get judged in different ways. So if a woman says, I'm a great sex worker and doing amazing things, people will criticize her. But when people hear I'm doing it, they think, that's a bit of a laugh, that sounds like good fun. So it's a really good opportunity for people who are listening to examine their own internalized misogyny. It's like really widespread. Mm. But there's many people of different genders doing great work in the field of sexuality.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
If you get a section. Yeah, go on.
No, I'm listening to you and wondering whether, you know, because there are so many more female sex workers, and most people are quite guarded towards, you know, like safety around men. So it's interesting for me to hear from your perspective about how people actually welcome you, and they don't shame you, and they have a bit of a laugh with you. That's interesting. I'm not familiar with male sex workers. I don't know any, actually. I mean, I know of them, but actually you're the first one that I speak with.
Oh, it's a privilege to speak to you.
Yeah. Yes.
There's not many male sex workers working with women, but there's quite a few working with men, like gay sex workers.
Mm. Yeah. I haven't had any on this show, so I'm so glad that you said yes, like as I mentioned earlier, and that you bring a different perspective. And it sounds like you have attended a lot of training, a lot of workshops, and so that's the reason why you're able to be a lot more articulate and speaking the kind of language that I'm used to speaking.
Yeah, so I've done a lot of training. I did the Urban Tantra training, and I studied counseling mm-hmm. for a few years, and in theatre company for a few years. So, yeah, I studied Carl Jung, his work with the shadow. So, yeah, it comes from lots of different backgrounds coming together in this work.
Do you find that once you've crossed that line of being a sex worker that you can't go back, that people don't take you seriously as a healing practitioner, you know, because of your background in counseling and as a tantra practitioner, like sex work is like, you know, like, I don't know, like a step down?
No, I'm not finding that. Possibly because of my gender or because of my success. I think people hearing about me and my work and some of my colleagues' works are getting more respect for the work that we're doing, the work for tantra and the work for kink and the healing aspects of it. You know, being touched in a conscious and consensual way can be really healing. And the more people can hear about that and be exposed to that, the better the world is. Because the world needs a big sexual healing, and this kind of work needs to spread so more people have access to it.
That's beautiful. That's really important. Yeah. So, okay, I feel more comfortable now because, you know, when I get requests for referrals for somebody who does body-based work with clients, whether it's with penetration or without penetration, I'm often very wary because I don't know who are the people who are good. I know that there are all kinds of training, and I know people have attended trainings, and some of the trainings I've attended. But I really feel that I need to know someone before I can recommend someone. And, you know, looking at your website, shawneelove.com, and also looking at your trainings, your qualifications, and now speaking with you, I feel very comfortable that there's someone like you doing this work. And I would be happy in future when I come across to recommend clients to you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Martha Lee. That's great to hear.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I hear about you, right? But I never visited your website, and it's good to look at your website and now see that you have all this training and trainings I would actually also be interested to attend. So tell us a little bit more about you as a spiritual person.
Well, just on training, if there's a chance to attend, I'll send you a list of my upcoming workshops in Europe and in Australia, so maybe there's a chance to meet sometime. But yeah, I'm very
rich.
Yeah, and if there's a chance to teach in Singapore, I'd love to.
Yeah, I'd love to too.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in tantra, especially neo tantra, which is, I guess, the conscious application of erotic ritual for expansion of the self and healing of the self. And if we talk in terms of energy, I hope your listeners are okay talking about energy. You know, we can clear the blocks inside of ourselves and clear the blocks in the different parts of our body. Some people use the word chakras, clear the blocks inside of our genitals or our hearts or our throats. And taking a body-based approach to this can be really beautiful and really wholesome. And a lot of body work covers the whole body but ignores the genitals. And I think that often creates a vortex around the genitals. So if we include that as well, it's a really much more holistic healing.
Mm.
I'd also like to say ritual can involve things like working with archetypes. So it's good to know how to access the different archetypes inside myself or inside the clients. So there are darker aspects of the human psyche. And to become a healer of the shadows, you have to really know your own shadow. So that part of me that wants to overpower or control or criticize, that's often what we call the shadow. That part is often hidden or suppressed, squished away. But this work is about looking at the shadow and embracing it. So it becomes very holistic. You know more about yourself. You know what you're capable of, light and dark. And then when you see the shadow in somebody else, you're much more able to work with that person for healing. So there's a big ritual element to this kind of work.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So
yeah.
Tell me more about ritual when it comes to spirituality.
Sure. So ritual often involves creating a sacred space, creating a circle. And that circle can hold the energy. And there's many traditions for doing this. some people talk about energy, and some people might call the elements like air, earth, water, fire. I just like to combine all these different concepts together to the concept of creating a ritual circle. And inside that circle, when you're really holding a client, when you're really holding someone, they don't have to hold themselves for a while. So they can start to open up and they can access those spiritual parts of themselves a bit better. They can access the archetypes, tune into their divine nature. So they can tune into that, where they're both an animal and a spirit at the same time. And that's where you can go in these rituals using tantra and conscious touch and archetypes. You also bring in stuff like breath and safety and empowerment and voice. And this all comes together to create really powerful rituals, very spiritually connected rituals.
That's beautiful. Let's talk a little bit about shadow healing. Maybe a little bit about what is shadow for people who don't really understand.
Sure. So there's a guy called Carl Jung, and I worked a lot with his work, and he talks. I'm using his definition of shadow in this context. And he says, we're all but these parts of our psyche, part of our minds that we have to hide away from our culture, hide away from our family, hide away from even ourselves. And we're especially interested here in the sexual parts. So your sexual fantasies about power and control, or your sexual challenges around gender. And most people hide these away inside their shadows. They push them down. So often they don't even know about them themselves. But shadow healing on the first level is to turn around, know that these shadows are there, and sort of light a candle, light a magical candle, metaphysical candle, and light the candle and turn around and look at these shadows, consciously go in, because they're already there, but just taking a conscious approach to exploring them. It can be very powerful to shine a light on the darker parts of yourself.
Beautiful. Thank you. We have a break, and we'll come back and understand more about shadow healing.
Okay, speak to you in a minute.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
What's up? This is Brad and Mike from Linkin Park. For Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS. Listen up, times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
And welcome back to Eros Evolution. This is where we always talk about the link between sex and spirit. And today I have Shawnee Love, and that's Shawn with an I. And you can go to his website, check out his work and his offerings that he has. He identifies as heterosexual, but he does work with couples, and his boundaries with men and women would be different, but he does work with men. And he has had a lot of training, like I mentioned, and today we are focusing on shadow healing. So tell us more about shadow healing, and I suppose there's a link with trauma as well.
Sure. This is an important part of my work. So a lot of people will suppress part of their sexuality into their shadows because they repress their sexuality. And this is often done for survival in some parts of the world. Say, for example, some having homosexual ideas or homosexual tendencies. This is illegal in many places. So out of survival, people need to suppress that. So if you can create a safe space, a safe and conscious space where people can turn around and look at these shadows, looking at homosexuality.
Hello, you cut out. Hello.
Trauma healing specifically is a big part of my work. I kind of stumbled on it accidentally several years ago, 15 years ago, and that kind of maybe get into this industry. I had some darker fantasies and I was exploring kink, and it's part of kink called consensual non-consent. And a lover of mine had some trauma. She'd been attacked previously. And we decided to do a little ritual, a ceremony, where we would reenact what happened to her and try to find that part of her where it was wounded, find the trauma. And we had a really powerful ceremony, really powerful ritual, and she, we're in the space where she could micromanage what I was saying and what I was doing. It was like almost like directing a theatre, where she could tell me to say this or use these words or say these words. And by going through this process, we found that part, that exact moment in her body and space and time where the trauma went into her body. And by visiting that place really consciously and really carefully, she was able to release that trauma, and it was such a beautiful moment. And that moment really turned my whole life around.
How did it turn your life around?
Because before that, I'd had all these darker fantasies and didn't really understand them. But by exploring them in this conscious way, I realized there was a powerful healing there. So what I was previously ashamed of, I then realized this is powerful medicine for the world. And it was at that moment that I said, well, I'm going to learn more about this. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to be open about it. And after that, I started studying counseling and other techniques for healing trauma. Because, you know, I found the trauma accidentally. The trauma releases accidentally. But then I realized this is really important. So I went on to study it in more depth. So, yeah, it was a very powerful moment. You can hear me okay?
Yes, now, yes. So that's good. That's really important. Tell us what you know about trauma that's locked in the body.
Okay, so there's many different modalities of trauma healing, and many of them are amazing. Some of them involve contact with the body, some of them don't. Some of them involve things like breath work or hypnotism or EFT or kinesiology. There's many ways to go about it. But this particular approach, shadow healing or shadow tantra, is to directly go to where the trauma is, holding space for that person, letting them direct you, letting the client direct what we're doing. So if you're interested in some of your listeners will be interested in counseling, and they'll know an author called Carl Rogers and his approach to person-centered counseling, but we're using that to apply it to the body. So the receiver or the client is very specific what to do and when to do it. So they're directing the scene, and they can direct how close you get to the pain, whether it's released or not. And by having the receiver really direct what's going on, they're in control of the journey. And you have to be willing to go to the darker places, because a lot of the trauma is in darker places. There can be a lot of emotion release, sadness or anger can be visited. So if a client's going to get angry, because the anger's already in their body, the practitioner has to be someone who's strong enough to hold them in that anger. So that's a big part of the training, is that emotional agility, the emotional stuff. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. What I'm interested in as a practitioner, maybe I'm asking this more for my benefit rather than for listeners, is how do you as a practitioner who holds space for other people take care of yourself? Because I work with clients and I'm an empath, so I absorb their negative emotions, and for many years it was very difficult for me to process what they do, what they feel, even though I don't do body-based work. So for you to hold space for people with all these emotions, like how do you work that through your body and how do you take care of yourself?
Yeah, this is such a vital question. This is like a lifetime practice. So for myself, I do things like hot yoga, and body-based stuff is going to hot yoga or going to the gym or exploring kink with my lover. Powerful ways to be emotional. I need to be able to release that emotion. So if someone releases anger in my room or sadness in my room, I can hold that and then they can be free of it. But later on, I need to release it. So I can do that by dancing in the five rhythms or going to the gym or, meditating or singing or shouting. And over the last couple of decades, I guess, I've developed my own ways to deal with that. But they're going to be different for every person. So some people will be about sex, some people will be about crying, some people might be about hiding under the duvet and eating pizza. So there's different approaches to sort of processing that emotion. But it is very important to be rid of it, because I hear a lot of pain, I hear a lot of horrible stories, and if I carry those stories, then I wouldn't be able to do my work.
Mm. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. So for people who are interested in what you are sharing about sacred healing and shadow healing, so what can they begin to do?
But if they want to get in touch with me, I really welcome that, because I'm happy to talk about it and give them direction. More generally, I encourage people to go to workshops about kink and about tantra, and learn to communicate really clearly about their own desires and their own fantasies. I think most people listening will have suppressed desires and suppressed fantasies, often kinky or erotic. But if the listeners can start to express these different things they want to explore, this is the direction we want to be moving into, where people are able to express their desires, express their pain, and hold space for each other as we do that. So, going to lots of workshops, learning about different techniques, learning about their own body, learning about their own sexuality, encouraging people to push their own boundaries. So looking at their own – everyone – I mean, I was brought up in a very homophobic culture in Australia in the 1980s. So I think a lot of people will have homophobia built into their body. But there's different ways that we can – open up and overcome that homophobia. I mean, even flat-out gay people have internalized homophobia, but there's ways to confront that or deal with that, and that's just being present with people of the same gender and take some breaths together. Or if you have fantasies about surrender or robe, it's to find a way to talk to your lovers and partners, go to workshops about that. So there's lots of resources out there, and there's some great teachers doing amazing things. So there's many resources.
So, you are based in London. So for people who are not in London, how can they work with you?
So I often do sessions over Skype, and I can do some holding space over Skype, and that's only verbal and emotional. You can have some powerful releases of emotion over Skype, but there's also more to it than that. For the body-based stuff, they need to come and see me either in London, but I'm always on tour as well. I go to Europe. Every month I'm in Netherlands or Germany or Prague or Italy. So I'm on tour quite a lot. And I go to Australia most years as well. I'm doing a 5-day workshop on Shadow Tantra in December in Australia. But if people are promoters or organizers in other countries, if they write to me, I can. I'd love to come and bring my work to more parts of the world.
Yeah, when you pass through Australia, you could visit me in Singapore.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, let's talk.
Okay.
Yeah, so
we'll have a talk and if we can.
Yeah.
After this, we'll have a talk, and if we can arrange something, then I'll come and visit you in Singapore.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I feel very lonely sometimes.
Oh, I'll give you a big hug.
No, I don't have colleagues here, you know. Well,
okay.
I do, but, you know, yeah. It's different, you know. People who have had similar trainings, we become part of a community, and it's important to support each other.
Yeah, yeah. So in London and in Australia and other places, people who work in similar industry, in this industry, often will meet together for coffee or for brunch or breakfast or for a ritual circle and sort of meditate together or swap sessions with each other. So it's important to receive as well as you're giving. If you're giving a lot of your energy to your clients, then it's important for you to receive back.
Mm. Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to elaborate on based on what you've covered so far?
I'd like to say my training comes from many different places, and it's worth naming some of them because these people are also on tour quite a lot. So if you have access, if your listeners have access to visit people like Raven Kildara, or Barbara Corellis, or Dossie Easton, or Rebecca Lowry, then they should go out and visit those people because those trainers are also really amazing, doing very special things.
Mm. Yeah, it's good that you do a shout out to them for them. I have had Rebecca and Lowry and Barbara Corellis on this show. So, yeah, I'm very happy that there's that endorsement for them. I would look more into their work to see if I have other things that I can learn from them.
They're very amazing people, yeah.
Mm. So, we're going to have a break. Yeah, we have a break now. Yeah, after the break,
okay.
I'd really like to ask you more about Shadow Tantra.
Best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Lori Walker.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in the beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
And we are into the last 50 minutes of today's show. Time really flies very quickly. We're talking about The Sacred Shadow with Shawnee Love, and he's a professional male escort specializing in what he calls conscious kink. And he won the title of Sex Worker of the Year 2015 at the Sexual Freedom Awards. And you can find him at shawneelove.com. That's S-E-A-N-I-love.com. I'm looking at his website, and he actually has a 5-day shadow tantra practitioner training. So as he was mentioning earlier in today's show, that shadow work is really powerful, and shadow work can actually help us to move trauma out of our body. He also shared how he takes care of himself as a practitioner, holding space for other people. So I'm very interested in particular shadow tantra, and also what you were talking about, conscious kink.
Sure. So I think shadow tantra is a bigger term, and conscious kink includes many different techniques and styles. And when we apply conscious kink in a spiritual way, we call this shadow tantra. And basically, we're combining tantra, such as energy movement and archetypes, spirituality, ritual, with techniques that are from the field of kink and BDSM, including role play and impact play and consensual non-consent. So start with something basic like impact play, which is, from the outside, if you've never tried it, it can look really weird, because it looks like people spanking each other or hitting each other. And if you've never tried this, people think that's a very strange thing to do. But there's many amazing reasons why people do try impact play. Many reasons why people do want to become spanked or scratched or bitten by their lovers, such as if someone's never in their body, the right kind of impact play can help them find the way back into their body, really embodied process. Also, the reverse can be true. If someone's always in the body, but they want to have a journey or go into a trance, then the right kind of impacts on their body can help them trance and journey out of their body. You know, things like impact play can also help them have a emotional catharsis. You know, we're brought up to believe, many of us are brought up to believe that boys don't cry and girls don't get angry. But by using some of these techniques, allows me as a boy to access my tears and release some of that pain, or allows girls to access their anger, which is often suppressed. So there's many reasons why you might explore conscious kink. Something like rope. Some people think, why would I want to be tied up, or why would I want to tie somebody up? But when you get tied up, it can allow a really powerful space of surrender. It can take away all your responsibilities for a while, and you can stop thinking and come out of your head and really get into your body and feel really held by the person who's tying you up. It's really beautiful and really healing to allow someone to tie you to, and allows you to surrender, access emotions, and to feel really held like nothing before. When someone ties you and holds you this way, it can allow such beautiful feelings to come up. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, so I'm looking at this, your website, and so it has everything that you just mentioned. So why would someone want to be a practitioner of conscious kink?
Conscious kink, I mean, it's such a beautiful healing art. Being able to hold space for people and take them on their journeys. It's really a powerful way of erotic service. I feel like my sexuality is really of service, not just to my clients, but this goes widespread out to the whole world. You change one life, you're changing the whole world. So people might want to use their sexuality and their skills to make the world a better place, and conscious kink is very definitely one way to do this. So people are drawn to healing of the shadows, or people might be drawn to exploring their own kinks and fetishes. Then becoming a practitioner is a very beautiful way to do this. Yeah. If you like holding space for people while they cry or release emotions, or you like to bring your eros into your sessions and let people feel safe to feel sexual, often people don't feel safe to be sexual. And part of the practice is to make a safe space for people to feel their sexuality often for the first time. So there's many reasons to become a practitioner. If after hearing me talk, people are drawn to it, I would really encourage them to write to me. And I'm happy to give people like a free 15-minute Skype sometime to talk it through and talk about the possibilities, give them some advice or feedback on their own journeys so people can write to me. Yeah. If anyone writes and says, oh, I heard you on Dr. Martha's show and I'd love 15-minute Skype, then I'll happily do that.
Great. Thank you for your offer. So remember, Shawnee is offering a 15-minute Skype call. Just mention this show. And you can just reach out to him through his website, that's shawneelove.com. Thank you for that offer. So is there anything else you want to add about Shadow Tantra, Conscious King?
Sure. I think the path of spirituality, for me, is the path of learning more about myself. I believe in this concept of enlightenment and or total knowledge of self. And I think for me and for many other people, the big part that's often missing in the teachings is about owning the own shadow. So for me, this is a real spiritual practice. The more I know about my own shadow, the more I know myself, and the better I am in the world, the more self-love I have, the more power I have, the more wisdom I have. So for me, this is a very sort of personal path towards spirituality, towards union with the divine.
So on this show I always ask people, what is the link between sex and spirit for them? So what is the link between sex and spirit for you?
That's a really important question. I think we're born into these bodies, and the bodies are like mammals. And we're full of blood and bone and meat. So we're like animals walking around this planet. But there's also like a divine spark, something from the gods or the cosmos has come into us. And so the God has come into the animal, and we are both. But through sexuality is a way for me to consciously combine sex and spirit. So when I'm doing shadow tantra or tantra or sacred sex, I'm being at once an animal and also a god at the same time. And the link is through bringing these things together, bringing spirit and animal together at the same time. And that is making me a whole person, which is the marriage of opposites. And that's my journey into spiritual wholeness.
Beautiful. Yeah, this is the first time I'm hearing it being described in this way, when sex and spirit comes together, this marriage of opposites, it makes you feel whole.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a model. I don't even know if it's absolutely true, but it works as a model. We're divine beings, and the whole idea here is to know how we are gods, or how we are from the universe, and this is one belief. The other belief is, we have flesh and blood, and we have desires, and we have pain and lust and juices in our body. And the sacred sex is about bringing these things together, and that is the most beautiful thing in the world.
So we're just wrapping up the show. Is there maybe something practical that you can offer to listeners on what they can begin to delve into for themselves? I know earlier you mentioned attending workshops, but anything else that they can do by themselves for a start?
Yeah, sure. Listeners that have partners, I would encourage them to maybe create a sacred space and sit down and talk to their lovers or their partners and say, is there any erotic fantasy you want to explore? Because that can help you learn more about yourself, and that way I can learn more about you. And people can be embarrassed or feel shame around those conversations, but for most people, there's stuff to learn about their lovers or about their partners. For people without partners, I would encourage them to be really real with themselves. Maybe write down, this is what I want to explore. This is the sort of person I'm attracted to. People are told by the media who they're supposed to be attracted to, the body size and shape and gender. But if they look inside themselves, maybe it's a bit different. When they're on their own, if they're not with a partner, they can look at what society tells them about their gender, the gender roles. And you can look at what those gender roles mean for you. Some of the bits might be real and some of them might not be. So you can sort of deconstruct your gender, deconstruct your sexuality, and lead to a place of, more self-knowledge. There's many erogenous zones on the body, including like your nipples and the genitals, of course, but also something like the bum is not talked about very often. And there's a very sacred spot for many people in the bum, and a lot of people will not take the courage to talk about that. But I would encourage people to talk about all these different parts of the body. Yeah.
Thank you for that suggestion. That's really useful. Creating a sacred space with your partner, listening and talking through with them. There are always things to learn, like you mentioned. And with yourself, you can journal. So this is the end of today's show. Thank you, Shawnee Love. And be sure to take up his offer of the 15-minute Skype call. And next week, we have a different guest. We're going to be talking about orgasmic meditation. So not orgasmic yoga, but orgasmic meditation. So for people who have heard of OMS, the slow one taste movement, we're going to have somebody who is a practitioner talking about it from his point of view. So join us next week at Eros Evolution. Goodbye and have a great week ahead.
Bye everyone, thank you Dr. Martin.